But now the point in verse 23. Now already God has given the Lord Jesus to the church. At the end of verse 22, as head over all things, has given him to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what that means is the church is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. In the church, Christ is reflected. Christ, who will rule over the whole universe, he is already reflected in the church now, and God has given him to the church. So what this verse is saying, the church, the assembly of God, that's all the true believers from Pentecost till the rapture, the church is so precious in the eye of God that God says to that company, I give the Lord Jesus as head over all things to the assembly. So the assembly is not put under his feet. All things in heaven and earth will be put under the feet of the Lord Jesus. But now God has given the Lord Jesus to the assembly. Not that the assembly would be under his feet, but that the assembly would be at his side. Already now, we are connected with the Lord Jesus, who is now in the glory. And in the world to come, the church will be seen as the queen beside the Lord Jesus. Not the queen of the universe, like many religions teach. She's the queen together with the king, the Lord Jesus. And together, the Lord Jesus, together with the church, will rule over the whole universe. And so this is God's plan for the church. And that shows how great the church is in God's eyes. That he said, for this company, for this church, assembly means called out ones. God had called the believers in the present day out of idolatry, out of the Judaism, out of paganism, and all those have been called together and formed this body of the church, of the Messiah, which is his body. The assembly is his body. So the body of the assembly reflects who the head is. The head is Christ, and he is now reflected in this body, and God has given him, who is so great, so wonderful, to the assembly. And the assembly is the one who reflects the greatness of the one who fills all things in all. It is wonderful how great God's plans are for Christ in connection with the church. But when we turn to the book of Daniel, we'll see how God has plans for this earth and for Israel. And because of Israel's unfaithfulness, those plans were put on hold. As we see here, in this interruption, see, God planned the red line is broken, interrupted. That was because of Israel's unfaithfulness, because they served the idols. God had called Abram out of idolatry, and now his descendants went back into idolatry. It was so bad that in the temple that was built by Solomon, a magnificent temple, in that same temple, in Ezekiel 8, you can see they were worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars. They were worshiping all kind of animals, all kind of things, idolatry. There was idolatry in the temple of God. And God had warned them by many prophets, and they didn't listen. And God said, you know what? I'm going to destroy that temple. It was the temple of God. God said, I'm going to destroy it through Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what happened because of their unfaithfulness. And now when you go to Daniel 9, I want to go, just let me say this. Daniel 1 gives the features of a remnant. God has always a remnant. And so even against the background of that unfaithfulness, as you have in Ezekiel 8, God had a remnant who were faithful. And that's what you find in Daniel 1 with Daniel and his friends. Faithfulness in the midst of unfaithfulness. And that's an illustration for us too. When you go to college or university or wherever we are in this world, God wants us to be faithful just like Daniel and his friends. Okay, that's a practical lesson for us. We could study Daniel and just take the practical lessons. But we are limited in our time today, so we just want to move to chapter 2 and 7 and 9. But before we go to 2 and 7, I just want to read one verse in Daniel 9. Daniel had insight in God's thoughts, but Daniel also used the scriptures. It's not only that God showed dreams to Daniel and visions, but Daniel was an avid reader of the scriptures. And like we are today now, we are reading the scriptures. And we need to continue reading the scriptures. And then God can show us his thoughts. Like he did here with Daniel in chapter 9. That was about 66 years after the 70 years had almost completed. The 70 years that God was talking about, they were in dispersion, they were under God's judgment because of their unfaithfulness. And so then Daniel, in that year of King Ahasuerus, that period of 70 years was almost done. And in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 2, he says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. He was reading the books. He was reading the Bible. He was reading even the book of Jeremiah. And the number of years whereof the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishment of the desolation of Jerusalem was 70 years. So he knew from the book of Daniel, and you can read in Daniel 25 and Daniel 29, that God had said they would be chastised because of their unfaithfulness for 70 years. That's also connected with the fact that they had not kept the sabbatical year. Every 7 years they should be keep a seventh year for God's honor, and they had not done that. And so God is going to use those 70 years to give rest to the country. You can see that in the end of Second Chronicles. You can see that also in Jeremiah. And so when Daniel realized, hey, look, those 70 years are almost over. So that means now the Messiah is going to come and he's going to start his reign. It's wonderful. Now, just keep that in mind, okay? That's where we stop now. We go back to Daniel 9 in a moment. But before we go back to Daniel 9, I first want to go to chapter 2 and 7, okay? So in Daniel 2, you find that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And you know, he was a smart guy. He said to his wise man that he had a dream, but he didn't tell them what it was. You know why he didn't tell them? Because he knew how crooked they were. And he thought, you know what? I want to test them. And so he tested them. He said, you tell me what the dream was. And if you are able to tell me that dream, then I know that you can also give the interpretation. Who qualified? Nobody. Even Daniel didn't qualify. Daniel was a very wise man. You can see that in chapter 1. And the king put him even in charge of all the wise men and of all the astrologers. Daniel was not involved in magic and astrology, but the king didn't know that. He only saw, this man is much wiser than all the other wise men, so I put him in charge of all the wise men. But even Daniel, this wise man, was not able to tell the king what dream he had dreamt. And so he was going to be killed. You can read it in Daniel 2. And then Daniel said to one of the servants, he said, just ask the king if he can have one day of relief. So the king, he opened the door for Daniel to talk to the king, and the king granted him a night rest. And Daniel said, then tomorrow I will come back to you. And that is what happened. He prayed to God with his friends. They prayed. And then during the night, God showed to Daniel what the dream was. And so then the next morning, Daniel asked permission to go and see the king again. And he said, you know, I know what the dream was. It's not because I was so smart, but God showed me, the God who gives those dreams, he showed me what the dream was. And he showed me the interpretation. That is Daniel 2. So what happened, what the dream that this king had, he was worried about what would happen next. You know, he was in charge of many nations. He was ruler. The ruler with absolute sovereignty. If someone would lift up his head and he said, kill that guy, he was killed the same on the spot. That is the golden hand. He had so much authority that no one was able to lift his finger against this king.